This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, week two of the preseason is done for the Jags. They fall to the Giants tonight, 22-12.
Are they with us, JP? Or did the field goals cause them to drowse a little bit tonight? I don't know. I really don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yes.
Plenty to talk about tonight. We talked about it on the network post-game show. Blake Bortles tonight, 8 of 16, missed some here or there, had some other nice throws. Overall for Blake, though, it's tough to match exactly what he did last week because he missed one pass last week. That would have been a touchdown, three drops. This week, not as sharp overall, but still moved the offense a little bit to at least get into field goal range, but couldn't punch anything in.
Yeah, the fact that they were able to sustain drives and get first downs, that's really the big positive you take away, the time of possession, putting themselves in position. But it could have been drastically different if you had an NFL average performance out of Eli Manning tonight, right? I mean, because I made some notes, and as we all do as we're going along, and this is a Giants offensive line. They lost Will Beatty. I mean, he out for the year. This is not a great unit, okay? And they were stoning the Jags defensively in terms of the pass rush. Eli, it wasn't because he didn't have time to deliver the football most of the time. It was just so erratic. He was so off the mark. So, you know, you don't want to get too wrapped up in a couple of quarters worth of performance. But, boy, we need to see this defensive line generate more pass rush. We need to see more guys breaking free. Now, we saw a little bit in the second half. Chris Smith got the lone sack tonight. It's not enough. Granted, I get it. So Derek Barks still not playing. Chris Clemens not in there. And they're not game planning specifically. But the Jags did bring some heavy pressure in the first half in the term of the blitz, which they don't like to do a lot of.
That's right.
And I think they wanted to say, you know what, let's create some pressure no matter how we have to do it. Let's try some different things out here. And they still didn't get home on those blitzes. And that's a sign we're going to have to really watch, I think, going into next week. Because if Matt Stafford gets that kind of time, and the way the secondary has shown the propensity to give up a couple of plays over the top, could get off to a hot start next week. So the pressure's got to get there.
You saw it last week when Roethlisberger went right down the field, had time to do it. This week, Eli had the time, couldn't do it.
If Ben
next
had been
week,
out there tonight and just change him out with Eli, and I think they would have gone up and down a couple of times.
And as you said, next week, Stafford coming in with those weapons, if he has that kind of time, it could get kind of ugly early.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a issue that they went out and tried to address, obviously. They felt, you know, Dante Fowler Jr. might be that one guy that defensive coordinators need to game plan for. And so looking at the early returns, I think they spent their draft capital wisely, and just a bad break for Dante Fowler Jr. But still, there's a team that generated 45 sacks last year. I don't care how they do it. They've got to find a way. You can't use that as an excuse. Whether it's the return of Clemens, the return of Marks to full health, something has got to spark this pass rush to get to the quarterback.
Help your quarterback. That's job number one, which they felt like they have, but then affect the other team's quarterback. That's number two, to be successful.
And once again, you know, last year we said probably the defensive line unit as a unit, ends and tackles, best on the team, right, as a unit. Well, I'm not saying they're the best on the team, but it's kind of flipped sides right now because the offensive line, not perfect last week, but certainly pretty good. I thought tonight, at least in pass protection, pretty good. Didn't open up many gaping holes in the running game, but I didn't feel like they were getting pushed around all night either. So I think they've had solid, if not spectacular, performances, something to build on. So you're a little bit more encouraged, I think, what you've seen out of that unit than you've seen on the other side of the football so far.
22-12, the final, the Giants over the Jaguars tonight. Are you ready?
I am ready. I know Saqib is ready because he's always ready. He's dialing it up as soon as we throw the number out there. On the south side we go, 355-NFL1, 355-6351 if you'd like to get on board the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Let's go to Saqib. Hello, Saqib. What's on your mind tonight?
What's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
We're good.
12 o'clock, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
In London.
Hey, it is
offensive... now, actually. 5 a.m.
It's the offensive line. I was watching Jokel in particular. You know, not to, you know, he did a wonderful job. And then get Blake, you know, hit. And, you know, I'm really happy for the guys that holding up, you know, there. And but one thing that I want to say is the defense. I know we're going to get a couple more guys back, but we got to get this pressure. We got to hit some quarter, at least hit them. You know what I mean? I'm okay with hitting the couple of the guys. It's just not good, man. I want a little more pressure on these quarterbacks. I know it's preseason, and just get the guys out there, man, and get some more sacks, man. That's really what I want to see right now.
I think we're probably all in agreement on that, JP, right?
And that is a fair statement.
Yeah, and I think even last year, 45 sacks, I think they got to the quarterback a high percentage of the time they got pressure. It wasn't constant waves of pressure last year. So, again, they think they're going to be stout against the run, which is great. This is a passing league. I understand you want to run, set up the pass, and the Jags want to go out there and establish the run, and you still need to run the football in the NFL. But, boy, no quicker way to do it than to drop back and hit a streaking wide receiver down the field. And right now it looks like quarterbacks, the early indications are going to have enough time to make some of those plays. Again, two preseason games. Nobody's freaking out. Nobody's panicking. Let's see some improvement, though, by next week.
Yeah, the secondary will have to step up and play. If they can't get that pressure, those guys got to play a little tighter and play well in the back end to cover them.
And we'll find out if we're right. We feel like the cornerbacks in particular are one of the deeper positions on this football team. And, again, you're not playing with Cyprian back there, so you're not 100% healthy and whole. But whether it's better coverage back there, allowing the defensive line to get to the quarterback, or just better pressure up front, allowing those guys to not have to cover as long, something's got to happen to help one or the other unit out.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information. Final score, New York tonight, 22-12. Giants over the Jags. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final score in New York tonight, 22-12. Giants over the Jags. Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351.
They're blowing up the phone lines right now.
People are getting rowdy tonight.
Oh,
after the
my
Jags
goodness.
Preseason
you kidding
game.
Me? Saturday night in the preseason, JP, where else would you rather be than talking to you and me?
I know. This is where everybody needs to be. Right?
Well, let's answer the call then. 1-800-355-6351, 355-NFL1. Let's go to Doc out in Mandarin next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Enjoying the show so far.
Thanks,
man. When it comes to the NFL draft, are we regretting now, I mean, that we didn't get Leonard Williams? We see what's on the field, and we still don't pick what's on the field. I mean, I'm trying to understand how this defense, I mean, Leonard Williams is showing out, doing what he's projected to do.
Well, I'll say that I don't know how they can regret anything, because they look, if it would be one thing if Dante Fowler were healthy and he's not making a dent and he can't get past anybody and you're like, wow, this guy looks like a stiff. They thought they were drafting a one-day superstar. I mean, they really felt that way about Dante Fowler.
And they still feel that way.
Right, but we won't know that, and we hope for the best for a full and speedy recovery from him. But, you know, look, what if Leonard Williams had been the one that they had drafted and just as easily been in a drill and torn his ACL? It happens, you know, so I don't think they can regret. You know, it's just they regret the luck that they've had, maybe the bad luck that they've had. But I don't, you know, it's one of those things. Maybe for all we know, had Dante Fowler not gotten hurt, he was going to be a 15 sack guy. We don't know that. I'm not saying he definitely would have been, but they feel like they're pretty good interiorly, right? If that's a word,
that's not. But it is now.
You get what I'm saying.
In the morning, it is.
Odrick, Aluwalu, Miller, Avery Jones,
like
Ziggy
it.
Hood. They got a lot of guys to plug up the middle. And, yes, nobody quite gives them the push than Derek Marks does. And maybe Leonard Williams would have given them that. But they thought that Dante Fowler would be that edge guy. And when you have Derek Marks, when he gets back healthy, giving you that push in the middle, and then having a guy off the edge that you got to double team, now all of a sudden you're getting one-on-ones in other places. And when you send Scooter on a blitz, now you're getting guys coming free to the quarterback. That's the thought process. And for all we know, it would have worked beautifully. That's one of those that hindsight's beautiful, and I understand a lot of people at the time were clamoring for either Leonard Williams or Amari Cooper, and you have every right to have that opinion, but you can't blame the pick of Dante Fowler of not being a success. It's just bad luck the way it played out.
As Gus Bradley says, you can never have enough pass rushers, and that's the way this defense is set up, is to rush that quarterback from the edge, and the more guys you can get to do that, the better. And as you said, they feel like they're set in the middle at least for a little while. Leonard Williams is not going to be a pure outside Leo pass rusher. That's not him. That's not his game. He can do a lot of different things, but they had this pick done a week and a half before the draft. I mean,
right.
It wasn't like a draft night decision, oh, let's choose Fowler. Oh,
right, they didn't flip-flop at the last minute.
No, they had this set up a week and a half out. They knew who they wanted and why they wanted him. There was no going back.
And it's like, you know, JP, you sit here and people have called in all summer long and said, hey, they regretted. They should have taken Teddy Bridgewater. They should have taken Derek Carr. We've seen 1 year out of this guy. We're not even going to see a year out of Dante Fowler Jr. You know, 2 years from now, after he's played a complete first season, even then we're not going to know. But at least then we're going to have a little bit better picture of what he brings to the table. For all we know, Leonard Williams, I'm not wishing this on anybody. Leonard Williams could go out tomorrow and tear his ACL. Amari Cooper could tear his ACL. Those kind of things happen. Clearly, pass rush is a glaring weak point, and they felt that Fowler would have impacted that more than Williams would have for this football team.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Final score, 22-12, Giants over the Jags. We'll come back with more of your calls. How about a scoreboard update, too? Other games in the league tonight in preseason week two. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Scoreboard Show. Final score, New York Giants over the Jags 22-12 in preseason week two. This is the Scoreboard Show, so let's look
scoreboard.
At some scores tonight. One active game out west in Arizona tonight. The Cardinals hosting the San Diego Chargers. Chargers lead 16-9. No Phillip Rivers tonight, Mike.
No Phillip Rivers. Kellen Clemens in there playing for San Diego. Carson Palmer back, obviously, for Arizona. We mentioned in the pregame as we went around the league, they lost defensive tackle Corey Peters for the season. They lost Mikey Potty, their big interior lineman signing, for about 2 months with the meniscus surgery. But this is how Bruce Arians wants to do it. He wants to run the ball and hit you over the top with big down-the-field play-action shots. Carson Palmer averaging 12.6 yards per attempt in his limited action tonight. And John Brown, I've been told by folks I talked to out in Arizona, is going to dominate the passing game out there. And Larry Fitzgerald... still around. Michael Floyd's still around, but John Brown, a rookie last year, has got crazy wheels, had three catches for over 30 yards tonight.
In Charlotte this evening, the Panthers reserves rally to beat the Dolphins 31-30. Tannehill good early for Miami. Cam Newton not so good for Carolina.
Yeah, really. Cam started off miserably and picked it up a little bit to get to where he was 4 out of 10 passing tonight. And look, they're still going probably through the shock of losing Kelvin Benjamin earlier this week. This is the look at what the Jags' first two opponents are going to look like. They played each other this week, Carolina, Miami. And, you know, look, without Kelvin Benjamin, that offense doesn't scare you a whole lot. Cam's healthy this year, but now you're asking a second-round rookie to come in and replace a guy who was a 1,000-yard receiver, 9 touchdowns in his rookie season. They really just don't have anybody to threaten you right now on the outside.
All Eagles all night, Eagles 40, Ravens 17 in Philly.
Yeah, Sam Bradford only played one series, and they want to run the football. And, you know, Chip Kelly has taken a lot of criticism for the way he's assembled this team, but at least the returns tonight. Very explosive. DeMarco Murray with his first action for the Eagles in the preseason ran for a score. Ryan Matthews ran for a score. They got a defensive touchdown. And Baltimore looked outstanding on offense last week, so the Philly defense came to play tonight because they shut him out in the first half.
Cutler v. Luck. Bears at the Colts. Bears win at 23-11.
Yeah, I don't know what much to take away from this one. Andrew Luck only threw 9 passes, 5 out of 9 for 71 yards, and he did run for a score in this game. Jay Cutler, 8 out of 9 passing, so he was sharp. But, you know, look, this is a Chicago defense I think has questions on that side of the football. We saw just a glimpse of Andrew Luck and company, but the Bears did shut him out in the first quarter, so maybe we have hopes that the Colts won't be as potent on offense as they'd like to be.
Well, yes, we do have hopes. That would be
a lot of hopes.
Very nice
for that.
Jimmy Garoppolo's line looks like a regular season line as the Patriots beat the Saints in the Superdome tonight 26-24.
A pretty damn good regular season line, right? 28 out of 33, passing, 269 yards. He threw a touchdown. He did throw a pick. Sometimes looking at the numbers, it's tough to gauge. Tom Brady only 2 out of 5 for 13 yards, but just reading online, they said he just didn't look quite like he was clicking for the second week in a row. And, you know, the speculation is all the Deflategate stuff weighing on him? You get the sense Brady will be fine when push comes to shove. He's in there. And keep in mind, as we pointed out earlier, New England without 4 of their top 5 wide receivers on the depth chart, although the Saints were playing without their entire starting secondary. But Drew Brees looked fantastic in this one. 8 out of 10 passing, 159 yards, 2 scores. He hit Brandon Cooks, who started off well as a rookie last year. Remember, the Biletnikoff Award winner in a year when so many rookies made a big impact last year. He got hurt and wasn't able to finish his rookie season, but everything coming out of New Orleans indicates he's in for a big sophomore campaign.
You remember what happened last year when they questioned the Patriots' quarterback position. They got hot right after that and went on that run. Broncos beat the Texans tonight 14-10, but not much. I tell you what, the Texans don't have a quarterback yet.
Oof. Ryan Mallett tonight, 5 out of 7. 23 yards. With a guy with a howitzer like that, they're just not getting anything going down the field. Brian Hoyer, 7 out of 11 for only 52. So it's been dink and dunk city for these guys. But on the other side, JP, a slow start again for Peyton Manning. He completed 8 out of 14, but only averaged 3.7 yards per attempt. And he is, you know, it's not the Peyton Manning offense where I'm just going to do whatever I want. Gary Kubiak's got his own philosophy. Kubiak figures to be there a lot longer than Manning's going to be there. So we'll see what kind of transition, if at some point Manning just doesn't say, we're scrapping this and we're doing what I want to do. Right,
I would think that would be the
answer.
That's
coming,
right?
At some point in time. But Houston, here's the good news. Houston couldn't put a point on the board in the first half. So they're going to struggle to score the ball. They have a very good defense. But, you know, quarterback questions abound.
That should be an interesting Hard Knocks this week, too, with Bill O'Brien and his foul mouth. There you have it. The scoreboard on the Scoreboard Show. We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars fall in New York tonight, 22-12 to the Giants. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Yes, it does continue. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey, the Scoreboard Show. Jaguars fall in New York, 22-12. Gus Bradley's scheduled to speak with the media tomorrow afternoon around 2 o'clock, and maybe we'll have some updates on a couple things. The injury situation, we'll maybe have a little more clarity on some of those injuries, and maybe the center battle. We'll see if there's any movement on that front. Maybe a little early for that.
Yeah, I'd be
week.
Surprised, yeah. Right, if they announced it that quickly, but I think a pretty good indication most people feel at this point, whoever starts next week will be the opening day center. Right, I mean, because whoever starts next week is going to get 2.5 quarters. You feel like you're in a good spot, and the question then becomes, you know, I don't think there's a glaring. You don't look at anything Beatles has done and say, boy, that's not been great, because I don't think AJ Cann has done enough to push him off that spot. But there had been some speculation whoever loses the center battle maybe competes for that left guard spot.
Yeah.
I got to believe at this point my hunch is Zane Beatles is opening the season as a starter there.
Well, it'd be interesting to see, because this was brought up on Jaguars Thursday of the night with Baselli and with Lagerman. that if Bowenko wins the center job, that Wisniewski could well move over and battle somehow. I don't know if a week's time is a battle before that third preseason game, but they made it seem like that it's still open. If Wisniewski doesn't win the center job, that he's got a good chance to push Beatles.
And it may well, look, it may well be.
We'll see.
But, look, technically, pretty much every job is open, right? As you almost heard Gus in the pregame interview with Jeff Lagerman kind of laugh when it asked about the question about Scobie. Is that still a competition? He goes, well, they're all competitions. You know, I think Scobie has not done anything to take a step backwards. He's hitting his field goals. Myers came up with that one kickoff that was well short of the end zone. I mean, it's little things. If you are the guy trying to knock the incumbent out, you better go above and beyond, right? I mean, hit his field goals as well. They've got two strong-legged guys. I think the trust factor leads you to believe that Scobie's going to be the guy clearly there.
It's the little things in hosting the pre- and post-game shows, too. Reading the cards right, you know, it goes down to even us. There's a competition, but it's internal.
That's why your job security is impeccable.
I don't know about that, but this will be an interesting week. It always is going into week three of the preseason. As you said, the starter is expected to go deeper. You'll have a better idea of what the Jags coaching staff has in mind moving forward. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with the final Baptist Health injury report. Recap those injuries from tonight. 22-12, Giants over the Jags. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final score in New York, 22-12, Giants over the Jags. Jaguars will welcome in the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford, Megatron. They're without Ndamukong Suh anymore, though. A little different.
Bologna's not a bad consolation prize. Yeah. I mean, if you got to have a consolation prize, it's a pretty good one.
I agree with that. That makes sense.
Rasheen Mathis coming home.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Rasheen is
– he's still playing. He's playing pretty well.
He's played pretty well.
Yeah.
Another one who got away.
Is he going on the wall here?
The best corner in team history, right? I mean,
what did they do while he was here, though? It's the
nothing,
same argument,
right? No, you know? I understand. I mean, my initial reaction would be no, but, you know, team leader in interceptions, you know, dangerous as anybody they've ever had on defense with the ball in his hands. And I think he got a bad rap down the stretch because safety help was non-existent at times, and Rasheen, there were many times when Rasheen let his guy go expecting help over the top, and all of a sudden you look up and you're chasing after him. It looks like he got beat on a double move. Hey, the guy continues to play, and the metrics say he's continued to play well for the Detroit Lions from the people who study like Pro Football Focus. So, you know, what do I know?
Jacksonville native coming back next week with the Lions here in Jacksonville. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. We mentioned the Ryan O'Halloran of the Times Union reporting tonight. Josh Wells with a dislocated left thumb playing special teams. Demetrius McCray, a right knee contusion. Leroy Reynolds injured his left medial collateral ligament. No word on the extent. Kari Fort sustained a meniscus injury in his knee. No word on the extent there. Aurelius Ben broke his collarbone this evening. That is horrible news for a guy who's been banged up throughout his career. Damian Copeland, dislocated shoulder. He was injured, of course, last year, was on the IR all season. The rookie last year out of Louisville. And those are the major injuries tonight for the Jaguars. And, again, Gus Bradley scheduled to speak with the media around 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
I think the one that concerns you the most is obviously Leroy Reynolds, you know, an injury to a knee ligament. We don't know what the extent of that is, but generally that's not good news. So you hope for the best for all these guys. And, you know, the good news is that it's only contusion for McCray because, you know, no offense to the other guys, he's a starter right now. He's the most important guy in terms of his impact, expected impact on this football team this year. So you hope the contusion is all it is. Maybe he misses a week of practice, something like that, or a couple of days, and gets back out there. I'm not going to be too concerned as long as they feel like he can suit up for the regular season opener.
Jaguars and Lions coming up this week. Should be a fun one here at Everbank Field.
Let's hope so. More fun than this one tonight, right? Let's get some touchdowns out of this Jaguar offense next week.
The unhappy final tonight at MetLife Stadium, 22-12. The Giants over the Jaguars. For Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, and Mike Dempsey, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.